One of the things I wanted to start out with this morning, though, after sharing that update with you, is don't you agree that sometimes things in life don't make sense? Sometimes there's things in life that just kind of leave you shaking your head, right? I want us to look at a few things here to start this sermon this morning. 10 things we used to do that no longer make sense to most people. Rewinding VHS tapes. Anybody been doing that this morning? Remember when you were supposed to rewind them before you took them back to the store? Remembering phone numbers. Using payphones. I still like to use a paper app, to be honest with you. Maybe some of you do, but I don't use it very often. Canning fruit and vegetables. That still makes sense to me, doesn't it? Maybe some of you still do that. Employing milkmen. My uncle was a milkman. Delivered that milk around to people. If you pulled out your phone, has anybody been calling an operator lately? Catalog shopping. Well, that was a big deal, right?
Sears.
You'd wait to get the Sears catalog, right? Manually defrosting freezers. Now, some of you may still have a freezer that you need to manually defrost like that. And maybe some of you use clotheslines for drying laundry. Here in Arizona, if you dry them in the summertime, they'll burn up. Or they'll be very dry. You better watch them in about 5 seconds. They will be dry. Check out these things. More everyday things that don't make sense. You shatter a bone and it will heal itself, maybe. But as we move along in life. But if you get a tiny cavity in a tooth, you got to get it filled. I've been going to the dentist lately and I don't like that. I'm almost at the point, I thought I had a high tolerance for pain, but I went to the dentist a couple times recently and I had tears in my eyes almost. I almost wanted to put me to sleep. But anyway, putting something in a safe place and then immediately forgetting where you put it. Why do hot dog buns come in packages of 8 yet hot dogs come in packages of 10? Have they straightened that out? Why do that?
Yeah.
Where do thoughts go when they're forgotten? Have you thought about that? Round pizzas are packed in square boxes for people to eat in triangles. It's true. Here's one, and you know you knew this. Having full conversations with pets as if they understand human language. Some of you right now, if we gave you this pulpit, you would argue that your pet understands, and I'm okay with that. I'm really okay with that. Yeah. What were Mocha and I talking about just recently? Anyway, no. Apologizing to objects, accidentally bumping into a table and saying, I'm sorry. You don't need to apologize to an object, all right? If the early bird catches the worm, why do good things come to those who wait? That's what the Bible says, right? Yeah. And here's one more. Why is all together written separately, but separately is written all together? Said amen, let's go on. Oh, wow. Hey, I was doing some serious research this past week, you can see. You know, I love to Google things sometimes just to have fun. And I like to have fun with you on things like that, especially going into today's topic. How about this? Does this concern anybody? You know, but if you do further research on this, I'm really concerned. Those two businesses are owned by the same owner. Oh, man. We needed a laugh. It's good to laugh. But, you know, I want to share something with you. One of the things that doesn't make sense sometimes is the dry, barren seasons of our lives. Sometimes they go on much, much longer than, they just don't make sense. Sometimes circumstances, situations, and seasons of life that we go through, and we're thinking, God, what's the reason for this? It just sometimes it just flat out just doesn't make sense. It's like this picture in the desert. That was my backyard last summer. When record heat. We'll have more of it this year, probably, right?
I'll be alive.
But there are times in life, or seasons of life, or circumstances where sometimes, if we're honest, we just say, God, where are you in all of this? It just doesn't make sense. I mean, sometimes we think, is this really happening? And there are many of you, if not most of you, or all of you across this room that would say at some point in your life, or a season of your life, where it just, you felt like you were in the desert or the wilderness, or you're going through a tragedy in life or difficulty that just didn't make sense. And so today I want us to talk about, from the book of Nehemiah, this topic here, getting beyond life's ruins. Getting beyond life's ruins. Sometimes those things in life that don't make sense, right? What Nehemiah finds is there's something that doesn't make sense. He's on his way to Jerusalem. This is, I think, the fourth week that we've been in the study of Nehemiah. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's got permission to the king. And what didn't make sense is that God's place, the holy city of Jerusalem, was laid to ruins. The gates and the walls were burned to the ground, and everything was messed up. Something very terribly had gone wrong. God's holy city, God's people, the city of Jerusalem. The question is, what caused Jerusalem and God's people just to lie in a pile of rubble? I mean, did a violent storm come along? No, what happened was, under God's judgment, the Babylonian army sieged Jerusalem, took God's people away captive. It was one of those periods of time that, for God's people, they were reaping the consequences of sin and rebellion in their lives. And so Nehemiah is on his way to the city of Jerusalem, and for the most part, much of the temple's been rebuilt in Jerusalem. Ezra's been leading the charge toward reestablishing worship there, and yet much of the city still lies in ruins. And so Nehemiah, remember, he spent 4 months planning and praying. He gets permission from the king to leave his position in Persia to go rebuild Jerusalem. And God is the one who's orchestrating this whole process, the providence and provision of God. So Nehemiah's journey from Persia to Jerusalem took about 2 months. It was a long and grueling journey. How many of you have taken a vacation and it turned out to be much longer than you ever thought it would be? And difficult. Maybe sickness happened. You've been on road trips or grueling journeys before. Nehemiah took him, it was going to take 2 months to travel to Jerusalem. But when he arrives in Jerusalem, remember this dream. This is a dream. He sees firsthand the devastation and destruction. And we understand, we've seen devastation. We've seen destruction. But for Nehemiah to see this firsthand, it was worse than he ever thought it would be. We've seen hurricanes. We've seen evidence of tornadoes, fires, storms. We've seen firsthand, many times, even our own lives, devastation. And so when Nehemiah arrives in Jerusalem, he has some questions. He's thinking, God, where are you in this? Can we ever pick up all the pieces and put the city back together again? Can the people of God once again be the very people that you've called them to be? It was a city, a place that needed recovery from the ruins. And so I want to ask you, is there an area of your life where you need recovery? Some people here today, maybe you're trying to recover. Maybe you've had an unusual season of financial hardship, and it's been difficult. Or maybe you're in the process of recovering from a broken relationship that had just gone south, had gone down the tubes. Or maybe your health, maybe you have a health situation that has been so hard, so difficult, and you're trying to get back on the road to recovery. Others of you, maybe you've been in a spiritual battle. You feel like you're almost at the end of your rope. You're battle fatigued spiritually. Satan just keeps pressing in and pressing on. I want you to know, whatever your situation might be, there's a loving God who brought you here today. You're here today by God's divine appointment, and God is here. Ben, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. He's here, and he's here to give you a word of hope and encouragement from the Bible to help each one of us, even our church, even as a whole. Even though things are going well overall, there are sometimes things that we need to recover from so we might experience the greater things that God has for us individually and also collectively as a church. We're going to pick up in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. Nehemiah says, I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few men. I had not told anyone what my God put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one that I was riding on. So after 2 long months of travel, the first thing Nehemiah does, and you can overlook this, but he says, after staying there 3 days, so what did he do for those 3 days? Well, after traveling for 2 months, I imagine he rested. There was work to be done. There were some things to inspect, the city gates and the walls. He was going to need to see how extensive the work was going to be. One of the things that we need to understand about recovering from difficult times, recovering from times of ruin in our lives, we need some rest. We are a people, even in retirement, or even as you move along in seasons of life, that we seem like we need to be on the go all the time. Do you realize that God made the Sabbath day? You know, He made the Sabbath day for rest. God didn't wire us to go nonstop. And so if we're serious about getting past and recovering from the difficult times in life and getting our life back on track toward the road to recovery, we got to first learn to rest. And let me encourage you to rest in the Lord. Jesus even encourages that. He said, rest in me. Come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, you've been there. Maybe you're there right now. And he says, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What does Nehemiah do when he first gets in Jerusalem for the first 3 days? He rests. Recovery begins with rest. We're going to look at 4 keys that we see from Nehemiah's passage here today on the road to recovery. The key is toward the greater things, once again, that God has for us. That's a road. Does that look like any road you've been down before?
Yeah.
A gravel road. Rocky gravel road. All right, first thing is this. Do take the necessary time for inspection and examination. Stay with me on this now. There's 4 principles that I'm going to share with you that I think will be very, very helpful and beneficial. I know I found it to be true in my life as well. Let's look at verses 13 through 15 as these verses support this first principle that we're looking at. Here's what Nehemiah says. By night, I went out through the valley gate toward the jackal wall, and the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem. So there's some inspection, some examination going on, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. Then I moved toward the fountain gate and the king's pool But notice this, there was not enough room for my mouth to get through, which means what? There's a lot of rubble. There's a lot of devastation. So I went up by the valley by night, examining the wall. Finally, I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate. So what Nehemiah is letting us know here, he goes out on a night mission. He goes out on a night mission with a few people. And what he's doing, he's examining, he's expecting, he's assessing the condition of Jerusalem, the city, the gates and the walls that God has called him to rebuild. And Nehemiah, first of all, he's touring the south side of the city and he's studying the situation. He's examining and inspecting the condition of the gates and the walls. And he's wondering questions like, what do I have to work with? What exactly is the situation? Is there anything here that we can salvage? What needs to happen here? I mean, what does God want me to do with all this? I mean, what is going to be involved as he inspects and he examines the ruins there? What's going to be involved in getting the city back in operation and God's people back on the road to recovery? Nehemiah's assessment is the damage, not surprising, but incredibly extensive. He even says, he gets very specific, in some places, his horse couldn't get through. Do you remember a few years ago, maybe it was like 10 years ago or 12 years ago, the movie War Horse? Mm-hmm. He needed War Horse. That horse was an amazing horse. There are several difficulties that Nehemiah faced here. The task just seemed overwhelming. There was a history of defeat. There was a discouraged, hopeless people that were there. And so this is the reality that Nehemiah finds himself in as well. Here's the thing I want us to understand here. On the road to recovery, if we're truly going to get past a difficult season or a difficult period, whether that's spiritually or whatever it might be in our lives, an essential part of our personal life requires an honest examination of ourselves spiritually. Because the truth is, over time, our personal gates and walls, so to speak, can begin to break down. And when this happens, we tend to give in to subtle temptations. We allow sin to take root and grow in our lives. And left unchecked, it leads us away from God, down a path of destruction and ruin, instead of on the road to recovery. And so a very simple couple verses here to remind us of, as we examine, allow God to examine and inspect our lives spiritually, is this. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You see, the road to recovery, it is a process. It's a process that where you get brutally honest before God. You allow him to inspect and you examine your heart. A lot of us don't like to do that, but it's so needed in our lives periodically. And a biblical principle for getting beyond life's ruins, you must ask God, examine my heart, inspect my heart. Give me a clean and pure heart. And so we ask ourselves, God, is you inspect, examine our hearts. What are you finding? In Jerusalem, for years, the broken down walls of the city and its burned gates had become a symbol of the spiritual condition of God's people. They had rebelled. They'd sinned against God. God cautioned them. He warned them. And finally, he gave them over the consequences of their sin and disobedience as the Babylonian army. And then that's why the holy city of Jerusalem lay in ruins. The second principle is this: admit the need for change. Admit the need for change. And so we look at the 17th verse of Nehemiah, and here's what he said to them. You see the trouble that we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. You know, when I look at these words that Nehemiah is speaking to the people, he's saying, we're a mess. I mean, look at this. God has promised so much more for us. But look at where we're at. God's people were, maybe they even got used to living amongst the ruins. That is just the normal way of doing life. So Nehemiah challenged and said, God has much more. He has greater things. He has promises for his people. This can't continue. It's not right. It's not acceptable. And I think he's just saying, can we agree that things around here need to change to experience the vision and promises that God has for us? And Nehemiah is just saying, we serve a God of greater things. He's promised us so much more than this. And so through Nehemiah's leadership, the people are shown an urgent need for change. So a second key in our lives, and I'm saying this, God's speaking to me about this as well. A second key in Darwin's life is to admit the need for change. Because if you're serious about getting past and beyond life's ruins toward experiencing God's rebuilding and healing and recovery, you've got to, first of all, admit the need for change. And then here's a third one that's really important as well. Refuse to go it alone. Refuse to go it alone. The road toward healing and recovery, getting past life's ruins, those difficulties, those challenging times, those seasons of our lives, is to refuse to go alone. We need each other. We need others. I mean, can you imagine Nehemiah saying, hey, I'm going to rebuild this alone? It's a one-man job, taking on the entire city of Jerusalem process alone. I just want you to know something. You know, as a church right now, we're looking at the God-sized vision that he has for community church at Sun Village for the next few years. Where's God leading us? What are these greater things going to be? I want you to know that I would never, ever in my mind think I can do it. I can do it by myself. Because the thing is, here's the truth. Here's the truth. The God-sized vision that he has for this church of greater things can't be done alone. No single person can do that alone. The Bible says we are the body of Christ. And every part of the body matters. That means everyone is of value. So to go on to the greater things that God has for us, it will require all of us getting on board, all hands on deck. Even our wonderful part-time residents. That's why I don't want you to go home when it's 90 degrees. Before you know it, it'll be -5 where you're living. So just keep that in mind. All right. All hands on deck. Look what happens next in Nehemiah. Then I said to them, you see the trouble we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruin. Its gates have been burned with fire. Notice what he says. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said to me, and they replied, what did they say? Let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. I love that. Let us do it. Let us move on to greater things. This is not where we want to be. Even where our church, where God is doing already good things and amazing things and wonderful things, he has even greater things for us. It's a reminder to us that God's work, the work of God, the ministry of God, really is teamwork. That's why we have committees and teams and groups of people that serve together. There are so many opportunities for you to find your place and serve. It reminds me of, how many of you have ever read a Peanuts cartoon? Here's one that I read recently. It reminds us about teamwork. Lucy, you remember Lucy, right? She walks into the room and she demands, and Linus is just innocently sitting there. Poor Linus sometimes. He's sitting there innocently watching TV, and Lucy walks in and She told Linus, she threatened him that he needed to change the channel, and she threatened him with her fist if he didn't change the channel. And Linus asked her, "What makes you think that you can come in here and take over?" And Lucy said, "These five fingers." And she went on to say, "Individually, they're not much. But when I curl them together to make a fist like this, they're a terrible weapon to behold." Linus just said, "What channel do you want?" But poor Linus, that wasn't it with him. Turning away, he looked at his fingers and he said, "Why can't you guys get organized like that?" I love that. God's work is teamwork, amen.
Amen.
We need each other. We need each other. The road to recovery in your life is the same way. We need each other. I need you. The things that I need to recover from, the difficulties, the challenges, even with my dad's situation over the past couple of weeks, man, I can't thank you enough for being there. Just for being there in the prayers and asking for your support. It's just things like that. That's a tough season to be going through. Many of you go through seasons like that. Refuse to go it alone. There's other people who will walk with you, who will pray with you, who will study God's word with you, who will be there for you and help you through the practical things of life as you're going through those difficult times. Here's the fourth thing. I missed a tap of verse or something, but through faith in Jesus Christ, declare success and victory in the face of opposition. Through faith in Jesus Christ, declare success and victory in the face of opposition. Remember, anything that is of God, and certainly the subject we're talking about today, getting past life's ruins, getting on the road to recovery, the enemy doesn't want us to get there. He doesn't want us to get there. And so realize there's going to be opposition. And so we see that here in verses 19 and 20. But when Sanballat the Horonite, I'd be okay if you just booed right now. Okay. And Tobiah the Ammonite, and that's another official in Getra the Arab, heard about it. They mocked and ridiculed us. "What is this you're doing?" they asked. "Are you rebelling against the king?" And I answered them by saying, "The God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding, but as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it." I want you to mark this down. I mean, you can count on it. God's work of recovery in your life and in this church will be met from opposition. It will. The enemy does not want to see God's people or individuals move forward. Sanballat and Tobiah were in opposition to this work of God, and we'll see it. If you've studied the book of Nehemiah, we'll see this throughout the book of Nehemiah. They were in opposition to the work of God. Eventually, it wouldn't be just them. They'd get others stirred up as well. These guys, you have people in your life that are real joy killers. Yeah, we all know what that's like. But here's the thing. In the book of Nehemiah, when the people get all fired up to do an amazing work for God, these guys are there trying to throw a cold bucket of water on it. But Nehemiah, here's the thing. He stood firm. He'd have none of this. And he continued to lead the people in prayer while also challenging the people to stay to the work, stay to the task of recovery. You see, the thing we have to remember is our enemy does not want us to experience the greater things of God. Imagine how Satan would love to keep you wallowing among life's ruins. Just sit there, self-pity. Feel sorry for yourself. We go through hard times, so I'm not belittling that or making light of that at all. But the enemy would want you to go through that alone and never move out of the ruins, those hard times, those difficult seasons of life. he'll try, what Satan will try to do with it, he'll try to convince you that in your situation or circumstance, there's no hope of recovery. He'd say things like, your life is always going to be this way. He does the same thing many times, even trying to discourage God's church. And so, just remember this. Don't let the enemy do that to you. Nothing is too difficult when God is in the equation. As Nehemiah stated it, we can state the very same thing today. Jesus Christ is the key to our success. Nehemiah understood that, and I want to ask you, do you? If God is for us, who can be against us? And so just very quickly, a review. There's that gravel road again. There's the principles we looked at today. This side of heaven, one thing is true. Sometimes life doesn't make sense. Sometimes it doesn't. We agree with that. We understand that. But I want to encourage us to do this. Let's pray for and encourage one another as we pursue this road of recovery, where all of us together get beyond life's ruins. I fully believe this church, Community Church of Sun Village, is a place where together we're going to see many more people coming on board, knowing and believing in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and then living in the victory of Jesus Christ, getting beyond life's ruins. May this be a church where together we celebrate recovery and a life of experiencing the greater things of God.
Amen.
And may the God of heaven give us success. God bless all of you.